The book of James 1:25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. And so we will be blessed if we will fulfill this law, the perfect law of liberty. And to fulfill the perfect law of liberty, it is necessary to abide in it, and it's possible to abide in it if we are continually paying attention to it. That means we need to continually talk about this perfect law of liberty. And so we will continue to talk about the perfect law, the law of liberty. In the previous services, Pastor had shown us in his labors who is the one who created this perfect law of liberty. Because this law of liberty identifies God himself, his characteristics, and the atmosphere in which God dwells. And this atmosphere is imperishable. This law, this perfect law, can only be comprehended by those who are still on earth, but they're in the state of eternal life. They've passed from the state of death to the state of life. And so when we hear the word of God and we believe in the one whom speaks. And so as Jesus said, who has sent me and listens to the ones whom the Father has sent, will be as a judge, or will be a judge later, because in his lifetime he passes from the state of death into the state of life. And so this law of liberty identifies God and his kingdom and notes those people also who have passed from the state of death to the state of life. Today we will talk about the boundaries within which the law of liberty functions. Psalm 105:8-10. He remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant. We will need to look at five components: the covenant that is eternal, that is for 1,000 generations, also the covenant that was willed to Abraham, the covenant that was bound by an oath with Isaac, and the covenant also that was established as a law to Jacob, and the covenant that expanded upon all of the descendants of Israel. And so let's see what Apostle offers to us today. First, the covenant for 1,000 generations. This is the eternal covenant. And eternal covenant has no beginning or end, but it still is given to us in the format of 1,000 generations. Deuteronomy 7:9-10. Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. And he repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. We see that people who keep their covenant with God, the Lord says, I will keep them. I will keep these commandments and these promises for you for 1,000 generations. And thousands of years have passed, almost 6,000 years. And the next 1,000 years will soon approach, where Christ will be reigning. And so if the earth continues to exist for tens of thousands of years, these thousands of years it's referring to will end. You see how the Lord has given his promise for 1,000 generations. This is sufficient when it's talking about God gives more than what is sufficient. This allows us to see the eternal covenant. In this eternal covenant, the Lord wanted to show this 1,000, this number 1,000, his fullness, his wholeness, which the Lord is ready to give to us. And so those who keep his command or his covenant, the Lord says that he will keep his covenant, his mercy, for this person for 1,000 generations. Let's look also at the consistency of this covenant that contains all of the promises, because if we will continue in this perfect law of liberty, then the Lord will open for us the heavens and will show us the promises that are contained in heaven for us. His prerogative is to open the heavens to us. For us, our prerogative is to know the law he gives and to abide in it. Let's look at Abraham, and then look at Isaac, and then Jacob, and then Israel. The covenant willed to Abraham. What were the conditions? Genesis 17, 4 through 14. As for me, my covenant is with you. This is the Lord speaking with Abraham. As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you the land which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant and your descendants after you throughout your generations. And you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. And who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in their generation. He who is born in your house or bought with money from a foreigner who is not your descendant, he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised. Hebrews 9:16-17. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Christ died, and when he died, the promise, those blessings that were given to Abraham, they through Jesus Christ have been passed on to us. And when we take this testament after death and we open it up, in the testament is written that we together will be able to receive all these promises only within the resurrection. That means I also need to die, because resurrection is the result of death. And it is written that in no way will these promises be given to Daniel during his lifetime. Life needs to become later resurrection. When I'm born again, I receive life from God, but this life from God does not have a seal. What is a seal? A seal is placed in death. And so my life in the flesh, when I'm submerged into the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and die for the three institutions that my soul is bound with, my old man, my nation, the house of my father, at this time the Lord places his seal, and I, being now united with Christ in his death, am united with him in his resurrection, and I in my life that has become resurrection have the seal, holiness to the Lord, one who belongs to God, having the legitimate right to the inheritance of Abraham. And so as we can see, so that we have this blessing of Abraham, this first component that Pastor Cadi has offered us, we need the death of both. Christ died on the cross, but he told Abraham, you need to circumcise your foreskin. A person needed to shed his blood also. It's not fair that a person bring an offering, a sacrifice, but not shed his own blood. Shedding your own blood means we need to submerge ourselves into the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that in the resurrection we can receive the legitimate and lawful right to the promises of Abraham. Now let's look at Isaac. The scriptures say a covenant bound by an oath with Isaac. Genesis 17:19. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. And again, it's talking about an everlasting covenant, that blessing that the Lord gives for 1,000 generations. But those 1,000 generations, we need to have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If they are within the foundation of my covenant, no promise will we receive. If they're not there, we won't receive them in Jesus Christ. And so Isaac, who had taken this inheritance after Abraham and wants to pass on to us, Isaac, is he will laugh or an upright joy, that's the meaning of his name, Hebrews 1:9. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Here we see Isaac. We can be anointed with the oil of gladness upon the condition that we need to love righteousness and hate lawlessness. And so a person who has a tolerant mentality, he says, I am not a son. He in this way is saying that he's not a son of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and has no right to the promises that the Lord wants to reveal to his church. And this joy is a component of the kingdom of heaven. Romans 14:17, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is where the name Isaac is seen. And so when people are clothed into the upright joy, there's a war that takes place inside of themselves and as well as out of themselves. Galatians 4:28 through 31. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise, but as he was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. And so the Scriptures say that those who are born in the flesh will always persecute the one born from the Spirit in the church. And when it's talking about our essence, our soul that is not yet submerged into the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, it needs to be driven out with her son, that the works of the flesh. In the physical church, we don't have the ability to throw anybody out. There are people that born in the flesh that are still here. We can't throw them out. We have to wait until the time of the harvest. And then when the time comes, God will then pluck them out himself. But within ourselves, we need to place our soul into the death of the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can receive it in the resurrection of Christ, so that we can utilize Isaac. If we have this bondwoman with Ishmael and they're not submerged into the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not have the ability to utilize Isaac until we drive them out, of course. The covenant established as law to Jacob, Genesis 35, 9-10. Then God appeared to Jacob again when he came from Paddan Aram and blessed him. And God said to him, your name is Jacob. Your name shall not be called Jacob anymore, but Israel shall be your name. So he called his name Israel. And so the Lord gave the law to Jacob also, the Jacob who is able to be Israel. To be Israel, Jacob needed to learn to fight together with God. The name Israel, he battles together with God. He battled together with God, and now he will overcome men. To battle together with God. In many religious churches, of course, it is preached as if Jacob was fighting against God. But when we're talking about with God, that means together with God against the old man. You battle together with him side by side to overcome the old man. We together with God will overcome the old man, Esau, whom Jacob was afraid of. And when he knew Esau was coming to him, he needed to, in prayer, battle together with God, overcome Esau inside of himself. And so if we did not overcome Esau inside of ourselves, if we did not drive out Ishmael, our soul, and the bondwoman, then we will not be able to utilize the inheritance of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And let's look at the fourth, Israel. The covenant expanding upon the descendants of Israel. This part of the covenant guarantees man the hope of eternal life. Exodus 6:5-8. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Therefore say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. And I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. And so if we are Israel, then the Lord says, I will bring you into that land that I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I rise, lift my hand, and I swear that I will give it to you. And so for the Lord to give it to us, we need to show the Lord that we belong to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That we belong to Abraham in circumcision. We testify that we are the Lord's. In Isaac, we have shown the Lord that we have this battle with Ishmael and those in the church that are born of the flesh, carnal people who resist the truth. And in Jacob, we show the Lord that we have overcome our enemy. That is Esau that's inside of us. And you through us, the Lord through us, has utilized his holiness so that he can drive out all wickedness and uncleanness in those who don't have the faith of God from within the boundaries of his holy nation. And so when we have these components that were concealed in the names Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, then the scriptures say, you are Israel, and I swore to give you the promised land, and I will give it to you in the form of your bodies, where the resurrection of Christ will reign. Right now, we will sing a psalm and we will thank God that we have the opportunity to use the legal right we have to use the promises that are contained in Jesus Christ and that are given to us in Jesus Christ, the inheritance of Abraham. And these men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, these first men who had shown how to honor God with tithes and offerings, they honored. And if we honor God with our tithes and our offerings, then we demonstrate before God that we have a direct connection to the Jewish nation. But what Jewish nation? The true one that came from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have connection, and we will demonstrate that before God right now. Let us stand up, and we will take part in the service.
Лицом Твоим, Спаситель, я хочу ходить всегда. Чудный мой руководитель, не оставь ты никогда. Тебя узнаю я лицом к лицу тогда.
Перед лицом Твоим, Спаситель, дай мне вечно пребывать.
Совершенство на тебя. Небо сам ты мне откроешь и возьмешь меня туда.
Перед лицом Твоим, Спаситель, дай мне вечно пребывать.
В совершенстве Твою волю постоянно.
Дай мне вечно пребывать.
I will happily repeat after Pastor Arkady every time when the nation of Israel honored God with their tithes and their offerings, either in the tabernacle of Moses, the temple of Solomon. They were required, as a command from Moses, which he received from God as a revelation, to stretch out their hands over their tithes and proclaim a great proclamation, which they were faithful to for thousands of years. Were the same Israel connected to the same roots, nourished by the same olive tree, we will do the same thing. Please stretch out your hand over your tithes and pray together with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I have separated my tithe from my house and have brought it into your temple so that you may have food within your house. I do not give in sorrow. I do not give in uncleanness. I do not give for the dead. And I deeply believe in your unchanging word. And I am glad that I have the privilege to demonstrate my love and to acknowledge your authority. And now, according to your words, I pray, may your heavenly windows be opened to me, and may your blessing come without end upon your redeemed nation. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. May be blessed. Please be seated.